Trípada vyaja yajnaya,
Trípada vyaja yajnaya,
Uchu Ujjusvabhartur Asura.
Ujjusvabhartur Asura.
Dikshitasyatya Marsita.
Dikshitasyatya Marsita.
Mahim, land. Sarvan,
all.
Ritam,
lost.
Drishtva,
after seeing.
Tripada vyaja yachnaya. By simply asking three steps of land.
Uchu.
Said.
Svabhartur.
Of the master.
Asura.
The demons.
Dikshitasya.
Of Bali Maharaj. Who was so determined in the sacrifice.
Very much.
Amarshita. For whom the function was unbearable. Translation. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadev, who had taken them away on the plea of begging three steps of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. Does everyone understand?
Who understands English?
In Hungarian, Do you want to go next door and just translate for the devotees who don't understand? Is that okay? Text 10. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheetahs, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. So they're thinking that Krishna, Vamanadev, is a cheetah. So this is the demoniac mentality. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. So sometimes we may meet someone who is atheistic, and he or she regards or thinks that there's no Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no God. This is the demoniac mentality, well, demonic mentality. So the demons here, we're seeing that they are exhibiting this mentality. They're saying they consider that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is their enemy. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, so text 12, our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness. And this is especially so at present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the Brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Text 13. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadev, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadev. Text 14. O King, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadev. Text 15. O King, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. 16-17 Nanda Sunanda Jaya Vijaya Prabala Bala Kumudu Kumudaksha Vishvaksena Patatritat Garuda Jayanta Shutadeva Pushpadanta and Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. Does anyone have a question about this verse?
What is names?
Yeah, fine. Who are the names? There's two names that are mentioned here, and when I was reading this, I wondered, that's interesting. Can anyone see? Okay, so first thing is no one is reading the verses. It really helps to have the verses in front of you. Otherwise you miss so much. And I've said this so many times to the devotees, have the verse in front of you. Read it. Look at the Sanskrit. You learn Sanskrit in Bhagavatam class. When you see it word for word, you pick up so many things. And if you do this every day over months and years, you pick up so much Sanskrit. That's number one. Number two, when you read along with the verse, then you catch so much more. Here, what I was reading, it says Jai and Vijay. So then I was thinking that Jai and Vijay previously in the third canto were cursed. Cursed to come down to the material realm. So how is it that they're still in the entourage of Lord Vishnu? Because they're Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha, Shishupala and Dantavakra, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then finally, Jagannada. So how is it that Jaya and Vijaya are mentioned here as fighting for Lord Vishnu? They were all associates of Lord Vishnu, they were there and they were fighting against the demons. How does this make sense? Does anyone know? Do you understand the question? So previously in the third canto, they were cursed to come down to the material realm and to be in the body of demons. They had two choices. One was to be
three times
as demons, or
seven times as devotees.
And to serve the Lord and interact with the Lord in his incarnations as devotees. They chose three times as demons. Why?
Because they want to reach immediately.
They want to go back as soon as possible. So they said, okay, we'll choose three times. And at the end of the day, Narayana Parasarve Na Kutaschanya Bhivyati Swarga Bhavadga Narkeshu Api Tulyarta Darshanaha. For a devotee, Narayana Parasarve, for someone who's fully surrendered to the Lord, whether he's in Swarga, Apavarga, Nargeshu, whether he's in Swarga, what is Swarga?
Swarga? Heavenly
planets. Apavarga, whether he's in the material realm, or whether he's in Nargeshu, what is Narg? Hellish planets. Wherever he is, because he's fully surrendered to the Lord, it makes no difference to him. So in the same way, Jai and Vijay thought, okay, we will go to the material realm, but we'll be in demoniac bodies, no problem, because our purpose is we want to return back. So how is it that they're here? How are they here now, fighting for the side of Lord Vishnu? So actually, Vishwanathapati Thakur explains that Jai and Vijay didn't actually come. Their expansions came to the material realm in the body of demons. But Jai and Vijay are eternal associates of the Lord, and they remained in the association with Lord Vishnu. There are many subtle points in Shastra, Finon, yeah? Subtle points, which may not come out in the Bhagavatam itself, otherwise Bhagavatam will become so voluminous. But when the Acharyas comment, then they bring out so many details in Shastra. And it's very wonderful to delve into these details. because in this way we occupy our minds in transcendental subject matters, and in this way our minds don't wander off into other subject matters, material subject matters. So we should really read and study. But it's that's why we see Jain Vijaya here, because they never actually left the entourage of Lord Vishnu. Their expansions went. Text 18. When Balimaraj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. So Shukracharya had cursed Balimaraj that you will lose everything. Because you're disobeying me, you will lose everything. So Balimaraj is seeing that he's not only lost his land to Lord Vamanadev, but his soldiers also fighting, but they're being killed. So you could see that the Guru's curse was working. The soldiers all being killed. So he told him, okay, stop, don't fight. Why not to fight? He says, O Vipracitti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favour. Text 20. O Daityas, by human effort, no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. Text 21. The Supreme Time Factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favour and not in the favour of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. Text 22. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the Council of Ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Meaning the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always the strongest, the most powerful force. Text 23. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Purport. Bhagavad Gita mentions five causes of defeat or victory. Of these five, Daiva, providence, is the most powerful. Naja Daivat Param Balam. Balimaraj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favour. Now, since that same providence was not in his favour, there was no possibility of his victory. Thus, he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jaya.
Om Gyan Adhyanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachasam Pangum Langai Dekhen Yat Kripa Namaham Mande Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadhar Shri Vastadi Gaura Bhakta Vritta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna.
So it's nice that there was a fired up kirtan. The energy of the weekend is overflowing into, and it should be like that. We should always have enthusiastic fired up kirtans. So Tri Gopur and Giriraj Gopur should come every day. So it says there's five causes. There are five causes of everything that happens. In the Bhagavad Gita is explained. Does anyone know what they are? The five causes of action. I'll try and speak slow and clear.
Senses.
Senses, not quite. Anyone else?
Person who acts.
Time.
Time. Asura, the place, karma, and one more. The work, the action.
Is it karma? No?
Karma, yes. Karma, doer, place, the circumstances, and then providence, fortune. Providence, fortune, luck, not luck, ultimately. Ultimately, the Lord's will. Well, providence, fortune, how do you translate this? Is anyone here?
Shosh. Like a destiny.
Destiny. Yeah? Fate. Yes. Yeah? Fate, destiny. Providence. So sometimes you're on a sankirtan and you're working hard. You chanted your rounds. You know, you attended morning program. You even honored prasad. You did everything you should be doing. But nothing's happening. You're working hard, you're stopping everyone. You have all aligned, you know what to say, but nothing is happening. And you're wondering why? What are you doing wrong? At the end of the day, Providence is in charge. Providence has sent to you the right people who are interested in wisdom, who are ready to give a donation, and sometimes may not. So what is said, in one place, Prabhupada says that providence is the most powerful force. Of the five factors of action, providence is the most powerful. But even more powerful than providence is the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees, if you're on sankirtan, for example, providence may not be in your favor, but if you take shelter of the Supreme, then all of those things can be overcome and Krishna can send you the right people. So providence is very, very powerful of the five factors of action, but even more powerful is the will of the Supreme. Because the demons are not ready to take shelter of the Supreme. They are basically aham mameti. It's all about I, me and mine. The demoniac mentality focuses on what is good for me and how I can progress and my own strength. When we act on the basis of our own strength, this is the atheistic mentality, because you are sidelining Krishna. So in our lives we have to see and assess, how much am I acting on my own strength? And how much am I turning to Krishna? How much am I taking shelter of Krishna? How much do I pray to him and request his empowerment in my day-to-day activities, in my service, and in my sadhana? The demons are not ready to take shelter of the Supreme. In fact, they regard him as their enemy, and they're fighting against him. And therefore, when they see that they're being defeated, then they run away to the lower planetary systems. But what I wanted to reflect on today was the weekend. By providence, somehow, or maybe by the will of the Supreme, we were in New Vrindavan. And I, for one, was reflecting that I feel so fortunate to, and I think I've said this many, many times, that I feel very fortunate to be here. And when Manjari Maniji read her offering from the, you know, which was from her, but which was on behalf of the society, the devotees in Hungary, Maharaj made some very nice points, which really reflect how special this place is. One thing that he said is that, of course, there's been extraordinary sacrifice that devotees have made. You know, sometimes I reflect that, you know, our seniors, especially the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the 60s and 70s, they made so much sacrifice in order to establish the mission. And when you talk to them, you read from them, or you hear from them, you can get some feel of the kind of sacrifice, self-sacrifice that they made in order to establish the mission. They put in blood, sweat and tears, quite literally, many times, in order to establish the mission. You know, if we just look 20 years ago to establish, you know, Budapest, this temple, you know, to pay off the debt on this temple just 10 years ago, there was a huge 3-year marathon, right? Devotees worked very hard. When you look 30, 40, 50 years ago, what Prabhupada did and what his disciples did in order to establish Mayapur, Vrindavan and various other temples around the world, they put so much effort. And then I think, what am I doing? You know, they got the mercy. As a result, they got the mercy. You know, when we look at our gurus, when we look at our seniors, they are very advanced in Krishna consciousness. One thing is deep sadhana, and another thing is real dedication to the mission. That's what got them there. Then I think, what am I doing? What am I doing to get there? I want to get there too. I want to be where they are. Of course, I cannot equal them, but at least go in that direction. But what am I doing for the mission? What is my sacrifice? What am I giving? Because in order to receive, we have to give. And I get a little depressed. You know, when I reflect on this, I become a little downhearted, depressed, thinking, I'm not doing anything. I'm doing a little bit, you know, trying, you know, it's like, you know, like the spider, you know, in when Lord Ram is building the bridge, you know, you have Hanuman and the other monkeys and they're throwing huge boulders and mountains into the bridge in order to build the bridge across Lanka, and then you have a little spider that comes along and he's taking a few specks of dust and he's trying his best. So I feel like the little spider. But I remember I was discussing this with one devotee some years ago. I was saying, I feel really, you know, disheartened by all of this. And he said that Prabhupada was a binding force in ISKCON. Everyone followed Srila Prabhupada and they were sold out to him. And at that time, in Prabhupada's presence, everyone was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And there was some dissension, maybe, there was some disagreement, some devotees left, but generally everyone followed Srila Prabhupada, and that was a very clear authority line. But after Srila Prabhupada, there are many, many disciples of Prabhupada, and they're making their own disciples. And the society is therefore becoming fragmented. You know, everyone says, my guru is this person, my guru is this person, and my guru is this person. And therefore, they all have their own allegiances or loyalties towards their own guru. Mm-hmm. So you have the, you know, so-and-so Swami camp, so-and-so Swami camp, so-and-so Swami camp. And everyone has their own little camp. And everyone feels, and this is happening more and more, and it shouldn't be this way, everyone feels loyalty towards their guru. But Prabhupada is there, kind of. But their first and foremost loyalty is towards their guru. But this is not how the society is going to move forward in a healthy way. Because what will happen is that everyone pledges their allegiance, their loyalty towards their guru, and we have multiple societies within the society of ISKCON. And therefore there's no unity. But there is strength in unity. And this is fundamental. So devotees need to have this loyalty first and foremost towards Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. A mature individual doesn't, as a result, lose or reduce his loyalty, dedication, love, and respect towards his Diksha Guru as a result of that. But he's able to manage both, where he has full loyalty, dedication, and he's sold out to his guru and to Prabhupada and ISKCON, both. And if we can develop that, then the mission will move forward. Otherwise, we'll have this fragmented society where we have 50 different societies within one. And that's very unhealthy for the future. So what Shiva Maharaj was, the point that he was making, Shiva Maharaj, he was saying that, so this key thing, he said, your sacrifice, the sacrifice of the future in the society will be cooperation. And I really found this point very powerful. That the devotees, whatever happens, whoever your guru is, whenever you joined, whatever your background, etc., whichever country you're from, the real sacrifice that we will make in the future is to cooperate. Because cooperation in Kali Yuga is the most difficult thing to do. Because this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. That is Kali Yuga. It is characterized by quarrel and hypocrisy. We cannot get on. Because everyone has their own mood, their own mission, their own desires, their individuality. And the further west you go, the more individuality is expressed. Much more difficult to have one single mission and vision. And as Maharaj said, he was in the UK, but Premad Rupu knows about this, because he was around at that time in the UK. Maharaj tried, but it didn't work. Devotees had been through a lot, that's one thing. And he said it's a different atmosphere there, it's a different environment. So he found it very difficult to get the devotees to follow one mission and one vision. Is that correct? It's very difficult to get everyone looking in the same direction. He was a GBC from 87, I think, 88 maybe, some point. He became the GBC. But just because you're GBC, it doesn't mean that everyone listens to you. Just because you're temple president doesn't mean that everyone listens to you. Just because you're the guru doesn't mean your disciples listen to you. So, unfortunately, this is Kali Yuga. So, and so what the point Maharaj was making is that in Hungary things were different. And at that point, and this was for me one of the most powerful parts of the Vyasa Puja, just because also I've been in the UK. And as you know, I know some of the things that happened in the UK when Maharaj was there. And Maharaj said, but in Hungary, and then he choked up. And he said, Hungary, the devotees were ready to listen to me. The devotees listened. It's a big thing. It's a very significant thing. If you're in some position of authority or leadership, and the devotees listen to you, it means a lot. Especially when you've had the experience when the devotees in another place haven't listened to you, didn't listen to you. Makes a big difference, because then you can actually move forward. So he said that there's been an extraordinary level of cooperation. Sacrifice, cooperation means sacrifice. In order to cooperate, there is huge individual sacrifice that devotees need to make in order to move things forward. But as a result of that, we have what we have. The Hungarian Yatra. And when you look across, and I've said this so many times to devotees, when you look across the world, and many devotees haven't seen Yatras in different parts of the world, but when you go and you see, in many, many places, there's not much happening. And in other places, there is something happening, but with a lot of quarrel and strife that comes along with it. And there are disagreements here, of course. It's not perfect. But there is a lot more cooperation, and there is vision and direction in Hungary. And you have to understand what a boon, what great mercy that is, to be part of a place, to be part of a yatra which has vision, which has a mission, which has a direction, and which has strong spiritual leadership. is very, very important. And he gives such strength to us as individuals in our spiritual life. You don't realize it necessarily because you don't see the alternative, or you haven't experienced the alternative. But it's very, very important. And therefore, we have to look to make that self-sacrifice within ourselves and continue to cooperate. Continue to cooperate with your fellow devotees, with your authorities, with the GBC, and with your guru, whoever your guru may be. But to work in cooperation, in harmony with the devotees is very, very important. And it means that many times you won't be able to do what you want to do in the way you want to do it. You know, whether it's what time you clean the ashram, you know, when you wash your clothes, during morning program or not, if your authority is asking you not to do this, then don't do it. You know? These are small things. And we have to look to get the small things right. Because, you know, I remember I was talking to the brahmacharis and we were talking about the morning program. And I was saying, we are thinking about overpowering them, taking over the world. We want to take over the world, you know. When Prabhupada was here, then he said something that we could take over the world in 18 days. You know, the Kurukshetra war took 18 days. And good reigned over evil as a result of Kurukshetra. So Prabhupada said that we could take over the world in 18 days. So then the devotees got excited and they really began to think that we will take over the world in 18 days. And they began to, you know, really think that, okay, but then 18 days later, it didn't quite seem that we'd taken over the world. And they began to wonder, hey, what's going on? Prabhupada's words are fallible. But no, Prabhupada said, no, I said we could, but are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? And the point that I was making with the brahmacharis is that if we're arguing over cleaning and cleanliness, coming to the morning program, and all of these small little things, then how can we ever imagine taking over the world if we can't even get the basic foundational things right? If we can't even cooperate on small little things. So we have to really rise above these small little things. Have to get the foundations right. And then we can really be empowered to do something big, to do something significant. But if we're not chanting Hare Krishna properly, if we're not reading and studying the books, if we don't have these basic things going on in our lives, then how can we really expect that Srila Prabhupada, that Dada Tabajaya Gauranga, and Radhe Shyam will ever really see us as fit instruments to do something significant in their mission? We may be doing our bit, we may be doing a little something, but Krishna Shakti Viranahi Tara Pravartan. Without Krishna's empowerment, we cannot really do anything significant. So, I really wanted to emphasize this point because there were many things that really stirred my heart this weekend, but this was one of them. And in Maharaj's presence, it is much easier to function with some unity. But the question is, and I think it's not nice to reflect on this, at the same time it's important to reflect on it. What happens when Maharaj leaves? And devotees have to reflect on this now and prepare themselves for that. When Prabhupada is going to leave, the devotees, they thought it would never happen. They didn't want to think about it. And it's understandable because you love the personality so much. You do not want to reflect on this. It's a very painful reflection. But I think with maturity, we have to reflect on it. And we have to think and understand, because I also reflect on it. I'm also thinking, hey, I'm from the UK. I'm here in Hungary. And I consider this my home. But what happens when Maharaj leaves? The main reason I came here was for the wonderful devotees, of course, but because Maharaj. And what happens when Maharaj leaves? And my reflection and conclusion on this topic is that what is Maharaj's mission? What is Maharaj's desire? When Maharaj is not here, then I have to dedicate myself to his mission and his desire. And what is his primary desire? To serve Radhe Shyam and to push the Hungarian Yatra forward. To make Hungary a Krishna conscious country. That's his vision. To establish, because we know that Radhe Shyam Sundar are the king and queen of Hungary. Yeah? They're sitting there in Somaj Vamos, which 25 years ago was just a desolate village, an empty village. That area of land was just mud. But the devotees, headed by Maharaj, almost 30 years ago, came and they established New Vrindavan, and they established and installed Radhe Shyam Sundar as the king and queen of Hungary. But the problem is that not enough people know about it. We know about it, we know that Radhe Shyam are the king and queen, but not everyone else does. So we need to make Hungary a Krishna conscious country. That is Maharaj's desire, and therefore we have to dedicate ourselves to that desire. And that's our duty. And whatever role we play, you know, a wheel has many cogs, nuts and bolts. A machine has many different parts. Some may be big parts, some may be small parts, but everyone has a part to play. Whatever part we're playing, we have to do it with dedication, with seriousness. I was speaking to one devotee, New Vrindavan, he serves in the Goshara, or on a farm, you know, in that area. And he's saying, I do the same thing every day. And I don't need to use my mind, I just do it. And he said, I'm going crazy. And I begin to feel and think that I'm not doing anything important for Prabhupada's mission. And I'm not feeling very inspired. And I just told him that you are in the Goshala of Radhe Shyam Sundar. You're taking care of their cows. And this was on Friday he told me this. And then on Sunday Maharaj made this point that everyone has a part to play, however small, you know, your nut may be, you know, in the bigger machinery of ISKCON Hungary, everyone has a part to play. And if you take that nut or bolt out, then the machine doesn't work properly. So everyone has a very significant part to play. Whatever you may be doing, we have to do it with dedication and with the vision that this is all contributing to establishing and moving this mission forward in Hungary, and continue to cooperate with the devotees around us in order to push the mission forward. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions?
Thank you very much for making this point. I just wanted to add that I also come from different places, many different places I worked and served. And I can summarize the situation here, it's unique.
Mm.
So in the beginning when I came, some devotees were looking at me suspiciously, why I'm so happy. And once in a while, not just me, are you really happy here? And I said, if someone is not happy, send this person to Belfast, for example, for 6 months.
Send this
person for 6 months, not six days will not survive.
Yes.
To not mention other places
that
I experienced, and I know how devotees struggle,
but
they don't have this, something to unite them.
Yes.
So, if someone is not happy here, I have suggestions for many places
to
visit.
Hear, hear, I totally agree. If someone is not happy or satisfied here, then spend a week, 10 days, 2 weeks in another place. And then you'll value what you have. Then you'll realize a little bit more about what we have here, what a wonderful place and facility. Because a problem when you have everything out, set out on a plate for you, everything is arranged so nicely, everything is organized, and devotees have worked so hard establishing a place, putting in standards, rules and regulations, then you don't take it, and you walk in and you have everything there, then you don't value it. It's human nature. You take it for granted. You take it for granted. But when you go to other places and you experience other places, then you realize, wow, my home is great. I have everything. So, first class is to hear and understand. Second class is to see others. So hearing is more subtle. Second class is when you see others. You know, you visit another place for a few hours, you visit and you see how others are suffering. Third class is to experience, and then you learn. Fourth class is you experience and you still don't know. Anyway. True.
I have one question and one reflection.
Mm.
My question is, what is the difference between providence and the will of God?
Mm.
Because it looks like sometimes a little bit the same.
Providence
and the will of God. And the reflection, you can say the reflection too.
But is reflection is about, I like this point, what you say, in this unity and cooperation, and it's very important. And I think it's like mostly the problem, we are easy to fanatize.
Become fanatics.
Fanatics. Mm-hmm. And both sides. Sometimes we are be fanatic to the unity too much,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we be fanatic to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
And and I think it's it's very important to our. Not our philosophy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu philosophy, this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, like unity in the variety, I don't know how it's called in English. It's already like a Achintya
Kulambhazoshima. Unity in diversity.
Yes.
Yes.
So we, I think we need to enough nature, or this is one of them, how we be, because sometimes when it's have unity, but we are not in the proper place, not place, but what we are doing is, like you said, this machine example, it's maybe in the part of the machine is working, but maybe is working in another place better.
Mm.
And also it's like this, so when we are, sometimes I see this, when we are pushing just one side, unity, sometimes devotees really don't, maybe they have some spiritual desires or something to do, and we are maybe long term, it's not happening, maybe they are not satisfied.
Yes.
And also when, at the other side, individual,
yes.
it just means, just I want what I want.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's I'm doing a very, yeah.
Independent. Yes.
Yeah. And this is also very good.
Yeah. I'll just reflect on this and then I'll come back to the question. Yeah, I fully agree. Leadership and management is very, there's a lot of sensitivity, and you have to understand people, because it requires it's a very fine balance of maintaining individuality, because we are ultimately individual, and at the same time having enough unity to keep a single direction and focus. We can't lose our individuality. We're people with tastes, moods, and reflection. You know, we all have our own desires, and that is not a bad thing within and of itself. Alone, it's not a bad thing. We just have to be intelligent on how to dovetail that within the society of devotees. And it requires maturity on our part and on the part of the leaders in order to manage both. And clear communication. Sometimes devotees go away, they run, and they do their own thing. without really explaining and expressing what their needs are. Clear communication is very, very important. And honesty. Really being honest. What are your wants and what are your needs? You know. Anyway, many things, nice topic, and definitely is subtle, you know. It's dealing with people is never simple and straightforward because we're complex beings, generally speaking. And I'll say something on providence and the will of God. Providence can also be defined as fate. It is a combination of our previous activities. And see, in the pastime of Dharma the Bull, when Maharaj Parikshit comes, his first canto, when Maharaj Parikshit comes and he sees that the bull is being hacked away at by Kali, then Parikshit Maharaj says to Dharma the Bull, he says, who's done this to you? You know, who's the perpetrator? I will finish him straight away. And Dharma the Bull, you know, Kali's right there. He's got an axe in his hand. And he's about to hack him. You know, hit him with the axe. And Dharma, the obvious, what would you say in that situation? It's obvious. It's him. You know, I mean, the question is obvious. But Dharma, the bull represents Dharma. You know, religious principles, righteousness. And he says, he gets very philosophical. You know, who is the perpetrator of any, you know, if something bad happens to us, why is it happening to us? You know, if I come up to Ati and I punch him, I wouldn't even do that to you, of course. I do sometimes, but that's a joke. Yes. Yeah. But if I did that to you, then you'd probably punch, you know, you may not punch me back. I don't know. Oh, he's strangling me. Okay, I better watch out. But you would consider me the perpetrator. That, you know, you would consider that I'm a bad guy and I've punched you. And you're probably right in this situation. But Dharma the Bull, he begins to say, this is my karma. He said, you can consider that this is my karma. I've done so many bad things previously, and this is the result of my karma. He says, or you can consider that this is... And he goes through various different philosophical ways of looking at this situation. He never says, this is Kali. He never blames. Because the moment, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, that the moment you blame the other person, you become party to the sinful reaction. The sinful reaction, you get some of that reaction when you blame. And he says, or maybe this is providence. Mm-hmm. So, ultimately, providence means something that we cannot understand. This is the... And there is sometimes... some overlap. Sometimes providence is referred to as the will of the Supreme as well in Shastra. Sometimes there's overlap. But it's ultimately beyond my understanding, and therefore we understand that this is the will of some higher powers. It could be the demigods, it could be the Vaikuntha Vasis, or it could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't understand the situation, we can't explain it. And therefore we understand that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme. Or some other higher power. You know, they say that in the Bhagavad-gita, it describes that the Vaikuntha-vasis, they're like guardian angels. And they come and they help the devotees. Sometimes we don't know. Someone comes, you know, you may meet someone on the street, you're distributing books, you're having a tough time, and someone comes and just gives you 5,000 or 10,000. Maybe that's a Vaikuntha-vasi. You don't know. You don't know who is coming to help you. But they're like guardian angels. So these are things that we cannot explain. And therefore we understand that this is the will of Providence. And that's how we kind of explain things when we don't know how to explain things. And higher than Providence is the will of the Supreme. But it's then it's not so distinct, differentiated. That's my understanding. Okay, thank you for your attention. And one thing that a devotee should do is reflect on the weekend and do not lose what you experienced. Note it, discuss it with devotees. I was doing this with some of the boys yesterday over prasad in the evening, just asking them what was the favourite part of the festival for you. And we have to keep these things in our hearts, because these are sources of inspiration and sources of direction for us in our spiritual lives. So keep it, discuss it, note it down, and in 10 years' time you can look back, 20 years' time you can look back and you can relive these wonderful experiences. This is very, very important. Grantha Shri Bhagavad Ki
Jai,
Krishna Jagranga Ki
Jai,
Shri Ramakumar Ki
Jai,
Gaura Bhaktavin Ki
Jai,
Nitai Gaur Premanandi
Jai,
Nama Chaitanya Prabhu Ki
Jai,
Gaura Bhaktavin
Ki
Jai.